panicking.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, welcome to Excess Astrology. Ian's late. Mark, go ahead. You're on.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here. Yay. We all made it. Yay.
Calling from New York and...
Mm-hmm.
Ann Ortley from
New York. New York at my bright red desk, a little delayed. I had a client, we ran over, and all of a sudden Mark's calling, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's 11. What happened to the time? My bright red desk with a little bit of stress, but otherwise I'm fine. And?
Okay, welcome. This is Heather Rowan Robin speaking from St. Paul, Minnesota, Minneapolis, St. Paul, near Minneapolis. And in a beautiful fall week, we've had unusually wonderful weather this week, which always makes me worry about what if we get this good a fall, probably the winter's going to be terrible. But boy, have I been enjoying the sunshine.
I know, it's beautiful,
isn't
it?
It is.
Yeah.
And that moon is in Pisces tonight, and with the moon in Pisces and Neptune aspects, Neptune trining the sun and Mercury, we're so fuzzy feeling, and great time for the heart and for the emotions and for the intuition, but I've been fuzzy all day long, and I thought most people would be.
Mm-hmm.
And how about you two?
Well, I just fuzzed right. I mean, I didn't fuzz. I knew I had it, but I was, like, busy doing the other thing and going, oh, yeah, whatever. And then the phone rings, and I'm like, okay, got to go. Bye, got a radio show, got to hang up. I'm definitely fuzzy. I finished a class tonight, and I said, okay, next week for class. And they're like, no, this is the last in the series. I'm like, really? And it's like the end of, it's already the end of October and the class is done. And they were like, yeah, we've done five in a row and you're done. And I'm like, okay. And they were like, bye. And I'm like, wait, you know. So I've been having a very Neptune kind of day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that kind of weather. And yeah. Mark, you too?
I think so. But I'm not sure.
You're not sure.
So I guess that's the right answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, so if you look up at the heavens tonight, you actually see the sun, or the moon, rather, and Neptune right or moon and Jupiter right next to each other, which is really gorgeous because they're traveling together.
If you do see Neptune.
I've been watching that getting closer for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
If you do see Neptune, call us up.
But if you look up in that sky, right, you can see Jupiter and the moon right near each other, and just to the... east of Jupiter, Uranus is not visible, but right there, so we can feel Uranus right behind Jupiter, and we can feel Neptune and Chiron just on the other side of the moon as well. So they're all lined up there, but we can only see the moon and Jupiter.
Right.
But we can feel the others. It's true.
But we can feel that kind of upside down, things are moving, oops, switch, quick change, whoop, 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 whoop kind of energy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Jupiter Uranus.
Yes, we can.
Yeah.
Neptune is going to station soon, too.
Yes, yes. So when does Neptune station
down.
It? It's slowing down.
Is it next week or the following?
Yeah, okay.
Yes, and Venus still retrograde in Scorpio, Mars in Scorpio. There's still the conversation with those two planets in that deep emotional sign and the moon in Pisces, I'm finding that a lot of people are walking around in a sort of a distracted haze, and relationship problems that I'm seeing happen and experiencing are when one person wants to communicate and the other one looks like they're available, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
If they could have, you know, if they were a cab, they'd have a little sign on their head that said occupied. They're just thinking about their own inner world. They're just so in their inner world that they're not available. That's not that they don't love you. It's that they're concentrating on what they're concentrating on.
Right. And feeling very,
over and over again.
Right, mm-hmm. And feeling very swamped by all the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no fire out there in the sky. It's very much a... missing of the light, but also high feeling, high content, high emotion. I don't know about you guys, but watching the miners get born last week as they all came out of Earth in their little can,
that's
I was
amazing.
Like, you know, kind of like, oh wow, it's like a rebirthing almost. And I know I know myself, I'm feeling on some level that I'm being rebirthed, you know, because I've been digging around in the emotional stuff and getting into it, which is okay. But it also has that energy of, gee, you know, as you dig around in it, you know, when are you going to come up for air? Where are you going? Where are you going as you dig? You know, so yeah, it's kind of wild. So, but all good, keeps us alive, helps us.
Yeah,
we
will get some Sagittarius energy at some point.
Yes.
It's not that far away.
Yeah. Hopefully. please. So it's good. So what did you guys notice about the week?
Mark, you take that away first?
I'm going to wait for you while I open up my ephemera.
Oh, okay.
I forgot what week we're in.
We're in the week of October 18th.
I know. Sometimes it's hard when we're thinking about we plan too far ahead. That full moon in Aries coming up this weekend is a doozy, and that's the one that's been that energy building up to the full moon in Aries. And it turns, if it's full moon at 29 degrees, it's right before it goes into Taurus. And then a series of aspects from Mars to Uranus and Neptune next week. So on a good side, one of what I see is, doing some very deep inner work, getting the chance to act out a little bit before the weekend begins, and then the next week beginning to dissolve some of our old angers and frustrations and our old ambitions and really recentering our goals and by beginning to seriously take action towards our goals as Mars trines Uranus towards the end of the week, next week.
Yeah.
I think there's a pattern in there.
Yeah, the thing to remember, too, is that the Mercury goes through it first, and then right behind it goes the sun. Mm-hmm. You know, so the Mercury sets it off, and then the sun goes, I see it. And so you kind of are like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool that there's this this energy that kind of is like first see it, then figure out how to use it, how to illumine with it, how to follow it. And I think if we give ourselves permission to kind of feel, you know, have the illumination happen, and then once the illumination takes place, then you go, okay, let's go forward, you know, kind of, it's very cool. Yeah. No. I think it's neat.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and we have the sun going into Scorpio this week. I figured out what week we're in now.
That's good. And what did you notice about the sun going into Scorpio?
Well, it happens every year.
Yeah, okay.
And it really is right on time this year because I feel like we're having a fall, which we usually have a fall.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this one feels like it's actually happening on some kind of a schedule. And right about now, you know, we do have the change in, it's noticeable that it gets dark earlier, you know, a lot of things seem to shift. And it gets cooler. Like, you know, the short sleeves are okay in the middle of the afternoon, but now
they're a little cold.
Other than the middle of the afternoon, the short sleeves no longer work.
Right.
So, you know, and that's Scorpio, it signals that, okay, you know, we're definitely done with summer, definitely done with early fall, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting serious now. We're actually going to move towards some kind of winter.
Right. And a new season begins. Or the deepening of the season, I think.
The deepening. So it's, you know, use the fall for what it is, but it's not all dark yet.
Right.
And, you know, so just, it's kind of, I view it as kind of that the last part of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So the holdouts, you know, the Swiss chard, the kale, the cauliflower, you know, the things that can last a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tomatoes are long gone.
Yeah. And, that's so sad, too. The farmer's market doesn't have any more tomatoes.
No. That's the hardy vegetables. And, you know, that's the ones that can hang on.
Right.
That's the fixed sign. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, they can last. And then pretty soon it'll be just the squashes.
Yeah.
You know, just the hardy squashes. No more zucchinis, no, you know, but the hard ones, the butternuts and the acorn squash, you know, all those harder ones. And that's also Scorpio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, that the last of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we get to Sagittarius, then we're having to let go of all of that stuff. Everything has to come off the vine and into the root cellar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or into the, and the roots get plowed under at the same time. Hi, Heather, welcome back.
Yeah.
Hi, better line this time. I had a bad static on the other line.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have to say this season is one of my favorites, too. And this week when Mars changes signs, he's going into, or Mercury changes signs, I'm sorry, Mercury's going into Scorpio on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And so it loses its voice, but it becomes much more quiet and silent, and it listens and it thinks. And it's more meditative place when it's in Scorpio. And I think we, you know, Libra, it's been trying to connect and relate. And there's been this desire to just go underground, to go into the darkness, to go into the meditative place in your own heart. And when Mercury comes into Scorpio, well, I think we'll find it a little more retreative. I had one of my Scorpio friends who is very energized by all the Scorpio in the air. She goes, I want to go out and have fun, and all my friends are hiding. Nobody wants to go out. And I'm like, they're all home with the covers over their heads, you know. They're like, you know, I don't want to go out. No, leave me alone.
Tell her to plan on going out this Thursday and Friday night while the moon's in Aries.
While
it's
the moon's in Aries.
It's not nice to stay home.
Right.
It's almost a disaster. But, you know, they'll really need to be. And this is often one of the wilder full moons coming up because it brings up questions, which are up anyway with these planets in Scorpio, about the difference between our personal needs and our interpersonal needs. That the Sun in Libra, Sun in Mercury right now are asking us to be good with our relationship skills and talk to other people and develop partnerships of all types.
Mm-hmm.
And the full moon in Aries and the Scorpio planets are saying no. Follow your own light, your own voice, your own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can find ways where those are not contradictions, where it's being challenged to say, how can those not be contradictions? How can those be a flow, one and the same, something that works together?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we can do that, then then it's not such a tension, but it really is seeing to both sets of needs right now rather than feeling like they're one or the other. Because in that full moon in Aries, if we've been stuffing something down to be good in partnership or to be convenient to others, it tends to come ripping out, which is why some people really act out. Some people just have, you know, a wild big party. Some people stay at home because that's what they want, but they have to do it. They have to be following their inner voice around that full moon.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
it's technically called the Hunter Moon, too.
So inside.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's called the Hunter Moon because the harvest, the bulk of the harvest is done, and you can go out and play a little bit, you know, because you've done most of the work.
And you go hunting because you're
hunting,
trying to get food for winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also the Hunter Moon in other ways because that Aries aggressiveness or, you know, what we might be hunting for, okay, odd hookups or partnerships or, you know, great music or something else, but there's a kind of a need to go search for something else rather than stay home and be good.
Mm-hmm. What's good? Who wants to be good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like, I want to go out and hunt. I'm going to dance with somebody, you know, it's that kind of sonic music.
Dance by the light of that moon.
Light of the moon, right, yeah. And I think the interesting part of the Aries moon, because it is an Aries, so it's a little bit of fire, but it's answering to Mars in Scorpio. And the Venus, the Sun in Libra, is answering to Venus in Scorpio. So even though it's a Libra-Aries moon, it's got a Scorpio undertone, you know, because it's just down there. And if we know that vroom feeling, we go, okay, cool. Give me a little vroom, will you? and just give it permission to be deep and profound and to dig into the stuff because you really want to dig into things. You don't want to not dig, you know. So it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, just hard right now. Everybody's a little cranky, little crabby, you know. I was like, I had a little outburst the other day, and I'm like, ooh, that's not normally how I do things, but I had it, you know? And when, you know, you get to that point, you're kind of like, and then you go, well, where did that come from? Obviously, you know, something not expressed, and I try and say things pretty much as I go along, but I just, it wasn't, you know, whatever, it just popped. And I think we also need to recognize when that happens with ourselves is, yeah, that needed to be said on some level. Maybe I didn't deliver it as kindly as I could have. And how do we work then once we've done something like that? Because this is a little bit of an eruptive energy. And I know I've had people, you know, that's part of what they're struggling with is, you know, they thought they had finished something and then the person reappeared and then they're just, you know, they don't want to do it. And they're having a,
mm-hmm.
and what do you do with that kind of energy? So
mm-hmm.
I've been saying, just feel it, you know, don't act on it unless you have to. And then of course I acted on something and I was like, wow, you know, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we understand that it really is very, you know, even though you're thinking you don't want to act on it, it may just kind of sweep you off your feet, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be hard on yourself, but just say, okay, maybe I didn't do that in quite the same way I meant to, but what I really wanted to say was such and such, and correct the energy, correct the message. Because it is intense,
yeah.
And I think the, you know, getting the energy driving towards something you actually want to accomplish, this is a great week to do it, because you've got a lot of extra energy floating around inside and outside. And Mars in Scorpio is a mighty powerful little fella. He really gets stuff accomplished and done, you know?
So do you want to give out the number for
we'll
our
give out
caller?
The number. We have one caller, but they didn't raise their hand. Hi, 212. If you want us to call on you, you have to press the one button and raise your hand. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. They didn't press the one button and raise their hand. So if you have any questions for us, feel free to give us a call. Oop, they just raised their hand. Okay. Hi, 212. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
I'm good. I saw you raised your hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
I
so what's your question?
To call.
Huh?
Let me give you my birth date information.
Yes.
It's January 27.
Wait.
1947.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
6:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Where?
Sweetwater, Texas.
Okay.
Nolan County.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you had your chart done before because, you know, you have to specify which of those two Sweetwater, Texas.
Exactly.
It is.
Exactly.
Thank you. So we have you as an Aquarius with Moon in Aries, Capricorn rising. What's your question?
Well, I just got off a call a few minutes ago with somebody where I pretty much laid down the law. I said, if we're going to be partners, it has to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening
uh-huh.
to you all, and I'm going, oh, maybe I need now to know how do I get my foot out of my mouth.
Right.
And you're like, wow, that was topical.
it was rather amazing because I don't usually stand up for myself. It was very tricky, and instead of handling it in a nice, kind, loving way, I was kind of like, nyeh, 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 you know? And so now I don't know how one gets out of this. Like, do I wait for a couple of days? Can you look at, I mean, you know?
No, honey. You've got Saturn opposed. You don't wait until Aries goes in right now because probably the feelings are hurt on the other side. Saturn's opposed your moon in Aries. And, you know, you're learning to hold back, but you may have been fretting about this relationship and trying to sort of push the river. And laying down the law and saying how things have to go here, which is unusual for you, but not unusual for you to think. You've got your Sun-Mars conjunction and a Moon in Aries, so and a Venus in Sagittarius. You're not always the most patient person. You're the most accepting in so many ways, but there's a little impatience that tends to kind of nudge or push, and it looks like that you're not particularly good at negotiating for your needs, that you tend to stuff them and take care of the other person until they erupt, and then they're so urgent because you've been stuffing them for too long.
Bingo.
And learning to negotiate them for them a little bit at a time on a regular basis and not telling them, because you hate to be told what to do. And so if you could say it in a way you could hear it, it'll be fine.
Okay.
But that you tend to kind of stuff it, and then it sort of comes out more directing because it's a little harder for you to say, hey, my feelings are hurt, or when we do it that way, I don't feel secure enough. But if you can speak it more from your I statements, and it feels like you may need to go back here and go, let me rephrase that. I won't tell you what to do. I'll tell you, when we don't do it like this, I get scared. Or when we don't do it like this, it worries me and it's not comfortable for me and I don't feel safe. But if you can say, you know, help me figure out a way of doing this that works for me and for you, it'll work well. That you're not trying to do it, you're trying to take out that either or, either me or you, and how to say, how can we make it either both me and you, you know, that we can meet both of our needs here.
I like that.
And
okay.
See if you can soften that a little bit.
All right.
So it's not that you're wrong about sticking up for your needs. It's just that you need, if you can open up the aperture and make it more inclusive.
Okay. Super. Well, I appreciate, like you said, what did you say, Anne? Timeliness? Yeah, I mean, it was absolutely amazing.
The timeliness of the message, you go, wow.
Yeah, and it was so, then I thought, well, maybe you can help me get out of it, and you can. So I'm just going to go for the, thank you, Robin. I'm going to go for the both me and you. I mean,
yeah.
Heather.
Okay.
I said Robin, I meant Heather.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, no, I think that's a really good, yeah, it's a good way to approach it, because it really is.
Yeah, and you want to really listen for the inner voice, because when you listen to your partner or whoever else is negotiating with you, it pulls you outside of yourself and you feel the opposition. But what you want to realize is that that's actually within you, and they're just helping you see it.
Ah,
so,
well, because what I was saying was, we're going to shut this business down. I just don't see, it's either going to work or not, but we've got to get this figured out really fast. So it's like all of the stuff you're saying. So that's good. Thanks, Mark. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
I appreciate it. Thank you all.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right, cool. We solved the problems of the world, and we have 32 minutes left. So if you have any questions, feel free to call us. We've just solved the problems, you know. We're good at that. Do we have any mail? Did we get any emails from anybody?
I didn't get any emails this week. Did you, Mark?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
Good. No. It was a fairly quiet week. Again, I think it's part of that spaciness
and
that we're experiencing
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
And
when do you think that'll go
is,
away?
Mm-hmm. When do you think it'll go away? I think
I
as
like
the Sun and Mercury pull away from that trine to Neptune,
mm-hmm.
and Mars squares Neptune this weekend, so next week I think we begin to wake up. Then Mars heads into Sagittarius on the 28th, and that's again the next level of waking up and pulling out of this experience.
Yeah, that brings some of the fire energy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oops, who was that?
I noticed, I think it might have been Mark.
Yeah, Mark fell off.
You know, it's funny, we're talking about the Neptune transits that everybody is experiencing right now. I often laugh when I look at the headlines in relationship to this, to what's going on with the stars. They say, authorities say they seized 105 tons of marijuana. How's that for a big Neptune transit? Is 105 tons, not pounds, tons of marijuana.
That's a lot of marijuana.
That's a lot of marijuana.
Where was it?
Mexico somewhere.
Okay, cool. They have room down there in Mexico. It's a big country, lots of room.
Mm-hmm.
Places to
we
hide the marijuana.
Two postal workers killed in Tennessee. And
for what?
Somebody went postal quite literally.
Oh, it was postal.
And
okay.
A conviction. Somebody shot two female postal workers Monday morning in the Western Tennessee post office. And again, they don't know enough about it to know why, but that is part of, it's again, some of it's spacey. The good side of spacey is intuitive and releasing and letting go. The bad side of spacey can mean loosening from the grips of reality as people sort of drift away from reality and get lost in their own fantasies. Mm-hmm. So if you're writing your novel, it's a wonderful week to do so. If you're, some people, though, I find under even good Neptune transits, that if they're not too well grounded to begin with, start to write their novel and live it, but not know they're in a fiction, that they just start to live their own story and needing to reel it back in. We can all do that in subtle ways by just getting caught on a fantasy or, just start to get lost in our imagination and begin to not check with what's going on around us. So it is a good time to check with our facts as we go along, check our opinions, keep an eye on a mood that sort of, if we find ourselves starting to wind out, before we wind out, stop and confirm our data. It can be Neptune transits can, on bad days, be reminiscent of a retrograde Mercury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where they take you on a little journey and you mm-hmm. go, wow, where was mm-hmm. that? Yeah.
But if you are studying shamanism or intuition development or want to do something about your spiritual practice, the veils tend to thin between now and Samhain anyway, between now and Halloween. And it is a time when we're picking up more messages and we're picking up more. Our intuition is mingling with our imagination.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other part of it is when we see all this kind of creative magic of the Scorpio energy, that it is deeply creative, and that part of the creative process does require a withdrawal from the world or a separation on some level. And as the veil's thin, we kind of say, okay. I mean, I remember doing visualizations and meditations with a woman who led groups, and, you know, we would always do one on Halloween to go help the spirits pass over to the other side. And I've noticed there's a lot of energy around the, there's been a real emphasis lately on the teen suicides, but on the other side of it is the Dan Savage project that is,
yes.
It Gets Better, where he's got, it's basically gone wild, with all these people going, it gets better, don't die, you'll feel better. And,
happened to me. Yeah.
This is what happened to me. Tim Gunn on Project Runway, he bursts into tears, and he says, no, I tried to kill myself, and I'm really glad I didn't, because I wouldn't be where I am now. It's kind of like, but when you're in that 12 years old and you don't think there's any choices, or you're just being bullied past the point. And there was this one, I've been watching them and crying, because my brother, when he was in high school, did try and kill himself because he was gay and being teased. And he fortunately survived, but a good friend of his did kill himself. And, that choice. And so I think when we see the energy and the feeling state that is so evoked and evocative, certainly in those videos, but also around the world where everybody's in this highly responsive emotional state, it's just a really profound, profound time for feelings. Deep feeling.
Yeah. And I do think that's, you've described it so well, but that Venus and Scorpio retrograde, people are going into the worst of their times. But so many people now are going in there to share that as medicine for others. Mm-hmm. Talking about the worst of their times and how they made it through.
Mm-hmm.
The strength that they got out of it or what they gained from that worst of times and trying to pass that on to Venus, the other people who have been responding with that strong suicidal streak and now a little homicidal streak with Venus and Mars in Scorpio with that intense, it's a little low on impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
People tend to spiral down into themselves, which can be great if you're meditating and tough if you're obsessing on the meanness of others.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with Mercury, Venus, and Mars in Scorpio, and Mercury is soon joining there, mean people get really mean once they get going. it's not necessarily a mean place. I've known very compassionate
people with that lineup. But when that combination turns, there's nothing can be meaner.
Right. Well, even if you basically consider yourself to be nice, you can be mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of got into a conversation today with my yesterday with my stepmother about bed bugs, and she brought it up she's in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
We're having bed bugs here in New York, but okay, there are bed bugs everywhere in the country. So I'm like, well, yeah, we have bed bugs, but they're all over the place, you know. And we started talking about them and, you know, the way they bite and how you know, and she's like, I'm getting itchy, you know. And she and my father are going on a road trip on a bus. And I'm like, well, you know, dark theater, the bed bugs come out and bite, you know. And I could tell she's going with a can of Raid. You know, my father's going to spray that room, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you pack the suitcase in a bag. There's a little part of me that's a little provocative, and I could feel it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, and then I hung up and I thought, now where did that come from? Normally normally I'm pretty nice, but that was, I just kind of wanted to get into the bed bug thing. And, you know, and then you kind of hang up and you go, okay, what the hell is Mars doing to my chart, you know? And it is,
mm-hmm.
it's aspecting my stepmother planets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, there it is. Mars in Scorpio is trining my Jupiter Uranus in the sixth house, which is the house of the stepmother. And here
mm-hmm.
I am talking about bugs biting her in the night.
Would you explain for our audience why it's the house of the stepmother?
Because the mother is the fourth house, and then the sibling of the mother, which is the stepmother, is the second wife, is the sixth house, one, two, three houses away. So
mm-hmm.
that's where the Virgo house, and that's where the whole mythology of Cinderella comes from, that the wicked stepmother, now my stepmother
makes
is
you work.
My stepmother is not wicked. But
mm-hmm.
the sixth house is a Virgo house, and that's where the Virgo, you know, the wicked stepmother doesn't love you as much as she loves her own children, and she makes you suffer and work hard. But it's a Virgo
yes.
house, yeah. And that's what the stepmother house is, the sixth house, the first wife. You know, if your father remarries a few times, then you get into the eighth house. That one's after the inheritance, and then you get into the you know, it kind of moves around the chart.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so it's – but, yeah, so I was kind of like, where is that coming from? And I thought, oh, Mars and Scorpio. And my father ganged up. He's like, well, I'll spray the bugs. You know, I'll you know, bring some bug spray. And then they started talking about, you know, because they live in Florida, which is the land of the bugs. And they had a bug
right.
the other night that he did not kill effectively. And so she was a wreck and couldn't sleep. And, you know, he sprayed the air conditioner vent where it went in. And in the morning they got up and – he goes, well, when we get up in the morning, the bug was dead on the floor. And she's like, yes, but I was up all night worrying about that bug. So he joined in,
well,
little Scorpio.
Well, if you spray your air conditioners with bug spray, you're lucky you're not dead on the floor.
I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it's also
and that goes again to the other part of the Neptune transits. One of the things that we might need
poison.
To watch out for right now is poisoning.
Yep, uh-huh.
Accidental poisoning.
Or deliberate.
Or deliberate.
There was
or
that kid who was poisoning her parents, you know,
mm-hmm.
hit the news briefly and then disappeared, but I saw it go by. Oh.
Yeah.
Teenager poisoning her parents. I thought, wow, that's pretty cool.
Sociopath.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Mark, what do you think? What are you doing?
With no doubt a justification for the poisoning.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That it made sense at the time, but by the time it goes to court, it doesn't make sense anymore.
Right.
No, it sounded, that was a pretty tricky case, actually. It sounded like an adopted child with some sociopathic sides.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting part of the process. Also, with Mercury heading into Scorpio and these Neptune planets, people are still, you know, the miners have come up from the underworld,
yes.
and now people are clamoring for their stories of what it was like to be down there.
And they have a vow of secrecy.
To a world, you know, now there's some of the most famous men in the whole world,
mm-hmm.
and people are hanging on their every word. That would never have happened without that terrible time in the underworld for them.
Right.
That, and all of us are living that out in some small story.
We're all having
where
time
in
the
life
underworld.
Have we gone that going through some really tough challenge in our life was what gave us the, you know, the richness of experience to be of interest to others?
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's part of the story coming up from people when they're telling, you know, they're talking about their darkest moments. But I think it's also a good way to look at any of our issues right now. How do we bring that up and bring that to the surface? But I think that we're going to be hearing literal stories from them all week long as little drips and drabs of it come out and help us piece together the story.
Well, they were saying that they were, you know, they had taken a vow of silence, which I thought was actually a good idea, about what happened before they realized they were going to be rescued, you know, how they were coping with it down then. And, it, you know, and I think part of it is like, okay, you know, what are we going to say about this when we get up there again? And I think when you spend time in the underworld, you know, there is a, there's a privacy, you know. I know certainly one of the beauties of therapy is that you go and you talk to somebody and you pay them and then you leave and they can never say anything about it to anybody and you're done, you know, like that's the deal. So you're able to bring the darkness there and share it and get it out of you. Mm-hmm. And I do hope on some level they're able to hold the silence because I think, you know, like, well, what happened, you know, and how did you do it? It's like it feeds the voyeuristic part of us. At the same time, it's like, well, okay, do we really need to hear what happened? You know, it's kind of like a jury room. You know, you get into some really nasty things when you're in a jury room, but at least you see the daylight. Imagine being trapped under the ground for 19, I think they were under there 17 days before they realized they were going to get saved. And that's pretty scary, you know?
It is, but, you know, that is a lot the Scorpio experience, too. It's a very, very deep, dark place. And each of us finds something different in that place, and we're entitled to have it and keep it as a secret. Even if it was shared among the people, you know, whatever they were going through privately, it really is very much their own.
Yes.
You know, I remember many years ago being out west, and we went into a mine shaft that was closed off. It was nobody was supposed to go into it anymore. It hadn't been entered for a long time. But, of course, you know, we sneaked in, and we walked way in this into the bottom of this mine, just following the leftover track. And
did you have flashlights?
You know, on the way in, we did, and then at a certain point, when we got into this big cavernous room, you could just feel this big cavernous room around you, and it was so big that the flashlight wouldn't pick up the wall anymore. So we knew we were in some kind of big room, and you could feel just the coolness of the air. And so we shut off all the lights and waited for like 20 minutes for our eyes to really adjust. And usually, like on a really dark night with no moon and lots of clouds, so it's really, really dark, still, when you open your eyes and they adjust to the dark, you begin to see outlines and forms. You know, little, even just the glint in somebody's eye will put out a little light, you know. Not in there. There was just
nothing. Not a thing.
I put my hand in front of my face like 6 inches away and sort of slowly moved it back and forth, and there's nothing. You know, the eyes cannot pick up anything.
Wow.
So that is the kind of Scorpio experience, you know, of that total darkness. Yeah, and that's what
I was on a tour in Carlsbad Caverns off to the side. And at one point, they turn off all the lights. They make sure everybody's sitting down, and they turn off all the lights, and they continue to tell a story, and you see what the dark really looks like. There is no dark
special.
Like it.
But that's what's deep inside all of us. And, you know, that is the Scorpio part, and it's out of that darkness that we come back and we have learned something different about ourselves, if it's only just how we react to that experience. We have to have that experience in order to know.
Wow.
So that's what these miners are all bringing back, and each one of them will have tapped into something different.
Right. And they spent 69 days doing it, you know, not just couple of minutes or an hour or two. Yeah, I mean, that's very profound.
Right.
Yeah, you
and
don't
no,
realize.
No guarantee.
Huh?
Right, no guarantee that they were going to come out, even when they were found and they were told
no.
they were coming after.
From what they said, you know, part of when they were being baited, apparently, by a couple of reporters, you know, talking about, you know, oh, you're being silent. Is that because there was, you know, were you having sex with one another? You know, what were you doing down there? And they said, no, we were much too worried to have sex or even talk about sex. It hurt too much. He said, no, some of the younger ones need protecting. Some of the younger ones just curled up and cried and couldn't. And we all got to a place at times where you just can't believe that you're going to make it. And, you know, that's the place of tenderness. That's the place of vulnerability we want to protect. Mm-hmm. And I said, so we'll talk about anything about that.
Right.
But that.
Right.
They mentioned that the first 17 days was a mess, you know, because they had no evidence that they might make it then.
No idea.
Yeah. And actually, that's a lot more difficult situation than being by yourself.
Right.
You know, to be trapped with 17 other people, each of whom has a different experience of that deep, dark point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you have to question your own sanity.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're the only one down there, well, relatively, you're pretty sane.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how...
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing to compare it with.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes.
So everybody gets their own little
breakdown. Were there any callers on the line?
Yes, there is. We'll try 434. Hi, 434. Are you there?
Is that me?
That's you.
Oh, my gosh. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. 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 I've just really fixated on all your Scorpio because
we had you in the underworld and then we
descendant.
Answered your phone, right?
Right.
You pulled me out of the dark. My birth date is August 14th, 1965. And I was born in San Francisco, California at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And now a lot of my planets, or a bunch of my planets, are in the 12th house,
mm-hmm.
And I've had a hard year so far, and I guess I just, when I found out Venus was going retrograde until Christmas in my 12th house, I was really upset about that. It took me a while to get over that.
Your morning, 1:30 in the morning or 1:30 in the afternoon?
1:30 afternoon.
Afternoon, I was going to say. I got morning, and I got Venus in the 6th house. I'm like, I got something
mm-hmm.
wrong here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
you were like,
you've
oh,
got
my God.
Mars there natally with good aspects to it. So, you know, the 12th house doesn't have to be so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there a particular question about that? Or did you want
to? I guess I just wanted to, I've really had trouble finding employment, and it's getting sort of to the point where I'm, really do feel kind of lost, and you know, it's hard to see the light at the end of it, and so I didn't know if there was any clues of what how that might lay out,
and that you're born with the sun and with the moon and Saturn and Chiron all conjunct in Pisces in the fourth house, so
right.
Sometimes you get a little overwhelmed when you look at the whole picture all at once.
Right.
And feel just awash and overwhelmed and depressed. And
yeah,
that can
yeah.
be yeah, one of your issues. So
right.
if you look at one issue at a time rather than everything, you don't get so overwhelmed.
Yeah,
but
I like to be busy.
You know, one of your gifts is you understand how complex the world is. One of the problems is that you understand how complex the world is. And it's a little hard to deal with one issue at a time.
Right.
You know, your progressed moon is at 25 Scorpio. In six months, it's going to be out of Scorpio. And it's been going through your 12th house and is now moving through your first. The moon, your progressed moon is conjuncting your progressed Mars next month. or even within a few weeks, and you'll be wanting to take some action where you've been feeling overwhelmed.
And that can actually show up as a job because Mars is the ruler of your sixth house and the progressed moon coming there. And also right now Saturn's on your midheaven. Your progressed midheaven is nine, Libra, and Saturn's on there. So kind of, you know, the blocks, quote-unquote, around finding work or the blocks around figuring out direction are starting to ease up a little. So I would like, I think I like that progressed moon coming to your natal, your progressed Mars as a mover. And then you also have, you know, you've got the sun right now coming to your Mars, your natal Mars in the 12th. So that starts a new year-long cycle. How long have you been out of work?
Since last, I haven't had enough employment to pay my own bills since last December.
Yeah. So now you're starting a new 12-year cycle around that Mars. And Mars for you is an employment indicator. So last year, when it was Saturn was, you know, the sun got, you know, Saturn got to your progressed sun at 4 degrees Libra, and then he went back.
Oh, that day was, like, intense. That's found out.
So you lost your job, and then he went backwards, and he played in Virgo for the summer, and then now he's finally actually ready to get you a job again. So what have you learned in your time off? Because that was also about redefining your hopes and dreams and your vision for yourself.
Yeah, it's that what I've learned is that I'm really bad at figuring out the vision for myself.
Give me a whole friggin' 9 months and I still don't have a vision, right?
Yeah, I really, it is, and I'm really disappointed in myself for not, so that doesn't help at all either. I think, you know, that's what was so upsetting for me about Venus in my 12th house was that it was like, okay, well, so I'm not going backwards. I'm not going to be clear on what I want. You know, I'm going to have to keep working on what I want.
Not necessarily. Venus in the 12th house can also mean that people are working for you behind the scenes.
Oh, that would be nice.
And the Sun and Mercury come out of your 12th house and cross your ascendant, which is usually a very fortuitous time to be, to suddenly people see you around November 10th.
Okay.
So I want you to really push, you know, for employment options around November 10th.
Okay.
And then you also have the moon, the Venus stationing on your Uranus at the same time that Jupiter stations over in your fifth house of giving you something creative and fun. So you've got a lot of nice things coming this fall.
Okay. Now you're,
one thing you can do is ask everybody that you know, is an ally of some kind. Ask them all, have you been doing things for me behind my back to help me out?
Right. Well, so I've been in prayer. People have put me on their prayer list.
And if they haven't, it'll give them the idea.
That they should.
That's true. That's true.
People like you. You see, and with Neptune on the ascendant natally, people will believe that you can do anything that you tell them that you can.
That's right.
If you're feeling insecure and you think, well, I don't know if I can do that, they'll think, oh, they don't know. We don't know if she can do that. But if you come in and go, like, I got it, they'll go, she's got it. Okay. So, but one of the things that you look like you're very good at doing is helping other people tell their stories.
Right.
What is the business that you're involved in, or what have you been doing?
Well, the last thing I was doing was sort of alternative health and just, you know, helping an office, doing the office work in an alternative health setting, because when I do a job, I'm always going down different paths, but I always choose a path that I feel, you know, very interested and passionate about. And I've always, but at one point I was in, you know, graduate school and, you know, I've done so many different things.
In graduate school doing what?
English, because I wanted to be rich and famous.
Okay, that's part of telling other people, helping other people tell their stories.
Right.
Because you've got Hygieia, the planet of, you know, mind-body connection and health, conjunct the Sun and Mercury in the house of publishing. So publishing around with Neptune on the ascendant, that once you get going, you're a very charismatic storyteller. And that, you know, helping people publish their stories about alternative health and about their healing process, whether that you're writing short stories about it, you're writing books about it, you're editing magazines about it, you're doing the copy for the alternative health organization, getting their work and doing the newsletter for them.
But you're helping people find a way of expressing. So the thing is, when you go to ask yourself what you have to express, you get all bound up and knotted up and confused.
Right.
And when when give you a grain of sand and you make a pearl. So if you've got an issue to talk about and you look for stories around that and help the word get out, you're great. Give you a blank canvas and you'll tend to get puddled.
Right, right. That is my experience. Well, yeah, that's helpful. And just hearing positive thoughts about what I might be able to do really helps. So that's because it's been hard to be the rooting section and for this long and trying to keep upbeat about the whole thing. So.
And, you know, if you can help, you know, sell yourself as, you know, what you can do for them to help facilitate what they need to get out into the world for now.
Okay.
And then you move more and more into the identity of the story of the storyteller with unique stories to say.
Right. Yeah. That's what I talk about.
I think that's very, very useful.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking the focus off yourself, putting it on others. And then also taking action. You have a chart that you can, you know, sit and get real lost in and undecided and unclear, or by just moving it into action, it'll unfold as you move.
Right.
So don't try to figure out the direction first. Just start walking.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have to run. Just walk. And it'll become clear what the direction is meant to be or what's going to be in the direction that you have started off in.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your
You're
help.
You're welcome. Yeah, good luck with it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Keep rocking. Let us know when you find work. Yay.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Okay. Bye. All right. We got 2 minutes left, so end of the show. It always goes so fast. All right. So we have the week ahead, week of October 18th. Hard to believe.
The end of Aries.
The end. It's shifting. It's changing. So highlights of the week include lots of Neptune, lots of Mars. Mars is a very busy guy this week. Starts with Jupiter and plays and fights with the Chiron Neptune in the middle when he squares them, and then he joins up again with Uranus on the back end to say, "Oh, okay, maybe it's transformation in process." Right. Mercury is going into Scorpio from Libra, which has a very transformative quality. He gets quiet. He gets silent. He listens. And the Sun is following right on Mercury's path behind him. And as Mercury finds out information, he passes it to the Sun, and the Sun illuminates and helps you see things in a way you hadn't seen them before. Full moon, culminating back to March of 2009, when you had this story open, the middle of March, around March 20th, 22nd, the new moon happened then that started a story that's opening and blossoming now. And we also have the Sun going into Scorpio, really bringing us into the fall and saying to us, fall is here. The growing season is over. It's time to go and hibernate. It's time to bring in, as Mark said earlier, the winter vegetables, the squash, to harvest, to finish the last harvest. And then, of course, to hunt under the full moon, the light of the full moon, which is a very, very powerful moon this week. So see it and grow it. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York, and I'm joined by my colleagues.
This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you from St. Paul. And know that we are all available personally to give free readings or give personal readings. You pay us, you can hire us, and we'll go into depth in your whole family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark?
Mark Waltz in New York City also. And we are here every week and happy to take your calls, or you can send us an email. You can reach us by email at astronyc.com, astronyc.com, and just say hello to Heather and Ann and Mark. And let us know your question.
Yep, and tell your friends about us, too. You know, spread the word. We want to make astrology in every school. Kids should know their chart so they know, oh, this is what's happening. So tell your friends, get people interested. We're trying to make the word get out there, how you can access astrology and help your life become the way you want it to be. Co-create.
Okay, thanks for tuning in.
Thanks. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.